Well, after we talk with Dr. Daryl Joffrey about peanut butter and some other quick issues, we'll get to your calls. Get Off Your Sugar, that is the name of his book, just came out. We'll be back with your calls in a moment on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast, George Norrie with you, Dr. Daryl Joffrey with us, his book, Get Off Your Sugar. Okay, peanut butter, what's wrong with it?
So, again, the problem with peanut butter is that it has 21 different forms of aflatoxin, which is a fungus that can actually cause cancer. So it's a dangerous thing. And here's the thing is that they take all the cocktail peanuts, which, you know, you're going to basically see that have less mold on them. They use those for the cocktail peanuts. They take the peanuts that have more mold and they mash those up into the peanut butter because they obviously don't want you to see those in the cocktail peanuts. So the peanut butter has actually more of the fungus and the ones that you want to avoid. So what I try to encourage people to do is instead of having peanut butter, I know you love it, try maybe some raw almond butter, some macadamia nut butter, you know, coconut butter, cacao butter. That's a better option that's not going to have the downside.
You know, Edgar Cayce, the American prophet, before he died, said that if you eat a couple raw almonds a day, you will be able to prevent cancer. What do you think of that?
I think it's a very powerful statement. You know, it's a raw almond is a very strength food. You know, you don't want it to be dry roasted because the dry roasted almonds actually turn to trans fats and they actually cause inflammation. But raw almonds, it's a healthy fat. We have to understand there are fats that heal and there's fats that kill. Raw almonds are not just loaded with nutrients and minerals, but they have fiber as well. And as a healthy fat, it's going to help your body burn fat. We have to stop fearing the fat. It's such an important thing. If we want to lose weight and get healthier and bring down the inflammation, having fat as part of your diet is essential. It's critical. Mm-hmm. The two major macros that we need to eat more of are more of the greens and more of the healthy fats.
What do you think of the natural sweetener stevia?
I love stevia. You know, please try to make sure it's organic, because if it's not organic, it's going to have a lot of different chemicals in it. But stevia is great because it's not going to have that spiking effect on your insulin because there is no sugar, but you still get that sweet taste. Now, one little caveat, when you get that sweet taste in, the brain can sometimes be fooled because the brain says, wait a minute, I sense sweet, but I never got the sugar. So sometimes, you know, people that are having cravings, they might win that battle there in the moment, but they might crave carbs a little bit later on. So just be mindful of that. And I think it's a great swap. So I love stevia. I love monk fruit is another healthy sweetener that you can use instead of the artificial sweeteners, which you have to stay away from. The artificial sweeteners are just very dangerous for your body.
Tell me about sugar, ADHD, and kids.
Oh, it's such an important thing. You know, I see a lot of kids with ADD and ADHD. You know, my brother dealt with this for many years, and I remember the doctor saying it was a chemical imbalance in his brain, but they can never tell us what it was. Now I understand it's the inflammation. You know, it's like sugar is so acidic, as we were talking about earlier, it goes to the brain and inflames your brain. And what happens is we just can't think straight when you have that chemical imbalance that's caused by sugar. The other thing that we have to be careful of is having those dangerous omega-6 fats. So those are fats that come from things like soybean oil and safflower and corn and soy, because those also will cause inflammation of the brain, just like sugar will, and they can lead to things like ADD and ADHD. But I'm telling you, you start to just clean up the diets of these children, and you'll be amazed. It might be tough for the first 2 weeks. Don't get me wrong, but you got to keep going. Don't give up. It's been shown in the research you have to sometimes try 16 times before the child will actually start a new food. So you just got to, you know, make it a game. You've got to be role models. You can't be eating sugar yourself and expect your kids to be any different. But once your kids start eating a cleaner, strength-eating diet, you'll be amazed at the changes you see in their focus, their sleep, how they're doing in school. It's really just incredible.
Daryl, what about dementia and Alzheimer's?
Yeah, I mean, dementia, it's one of those things that, you know, there was one article I read a couple years back showing that everybody over the age of 28 is experiencing some form of dementia in one way or another. You know, brain fog, processing speed, memory capacity. We actually measure these things in our wellness center here in New York City. But again, as I mentioned before, dementia and Alzheimer's parallels inflammation of the brain. So we have to do things that are going to counter the inflammation. Obviously, we have to start with hydration. It's so important. And things like hydrogen water are very good for dementia. But omega-3 fats, if I look at the top three neuroprotectors of the brain, number one is magnesium. It's actually even more important than fish oil, omega-3 fats. So we have to increase those minerals in the diet that are loaded with magnesium. And by the way, the reason why we crave sugar is a magnesium deficiency. So things like green juices, green smoothies, green soups, adding more salads into your diet, more steamed greens, sauteed greens, those are loaded with chlorophyll. And the reason why chlorophyll is so powerful is it's high in minerals. You can also get magnesium by taking an Epsom salt bath. You can put magnesium lotion on your skin. My favorite thing to do when I wake up is I take a scoop of our green powder, I throw that in the glass of water, and literally within 30 seconds, I have 5 servings of organic greens that are rich in minerals. The second neuroprotector of the brain is omega-3 fatty acids. So if you're an adult, I really recommend the average adult takes about 3,000 milligrams of omega-3s every single day, because those healthy fats are going to basically nourish the brain and they're going to lower inflammation. The third neuroprotector are B vitamins. So if you're having any issues with memory capacity or brain issues, brain fog, those are things that you should be focusing more on.
Let's go to the phones. Mike in Connecticut to get us started. Hey, Michael, go ahead, sir.
How are you guys doing over there?
Okay, Mike.
Hey, Mike, good to meet you.
Good to meet you. You just turned shopping into a full-time job. I'd have to bring my reading glasses. I'd be in the store for 4 to 6 hours, yep. And I'd have to be riding a scooter because I wouldn't be able to stay on my feet.
I hear you.
Yeah, remember, it just start easy. Start simple. It doesn't have to be a huge change. Change could be one thing. So just take that mindset, just adding. It could be just a few things. So it doesn't have to be a drastic change in your diet.
I have a question about a supplement I could take. I just lost my mother to dementia. I lost my dad 4 years ago to the same thing. But what can I take, like a vitamin I can pop with my other supplements in the morning or at night? You mentioned magnesium.
Yeah, and I'm so sorry for your loss. I lost my godmother to Alzheimer's. It's just a really sad thing, so my condolences. But, we have a well-balanced mineral supplement. We have a great one called Acid Kicking Minerals on our site. It's a really good one. I take it before I go to sleep, because during the middle of the night is when your body has the most inflammation, because that's when the body's really just kind of resetting and just getting rid of all the toxins from the day. So I'll take a little scoop of our mineral powder in a little bit of water right before I go to bed. It takes 30 seconds. It's very easy. And then omega-3s is so important for preventing dementia. It's been shown that omega-3 deficiency can cause 96,000 premature deaths in our country every year. So taking a fish oil supplement, those two things, if you want to start with two things only, that would be number one and number two on the list. And even children need these too, guys. It's real important for children to get the minerals and those omega-3 fats in.
I was going to say, are there any studies that show us what people are deficient in with dementia and Alzheimer's and things like that?
Yes, absolutely. As I just mentioned, magnesium is at the top of the list, because magnesium is what your nerve system needs. You know, it's what your brain needs. Omega-3s is something from utero. I mean, it's the most important nutrient for someone that's pregnant to take, because that's what the baby needs for the formation of the brain. But once the baby's born, we still need this as children all the way as we are adults. And what happens over the years, we're getting less of these healthy fats, like the omega-3 fats, which you find in wild-caught fish like salmon, herring, and trout, and things like that. Also in the egg yolks, you'll get the DHA, which is part of the omega-3s as well. But we get less of those healthy fats, and we're getting more of those inflammatory fats. And here's the thing, is that the brain competes. If you have like a little bit of the omega-3 fats, and you have 20 times more of these unhealthy omega-6 fats, the ones that cause inflammation of the brain that will cause dementia, it's an imbalanced ratio. So what's going to win when you're competing for the enzymes? The bad ones, every single time. And we have a test on the website that can actually measure this. It's called the omega-3 acid inflammation test. So you want to start to add more of those healthy foods and look at those other ingredients like corn, like soy, and then those oils like soybean oil and safflower oil that you'll find in processed foods. And you want us to start to try to minimize those. So we add more of the good, we eat less of the bad, and that ratio I was talking about starts to get more balanced. When that ratio gets more balanced, your brain literally heals. It's never too late for the brain to heal, for the brain to have less inflammation. But understand this, is that those things we're talking about are all driven by increasing levels of inflammation. So what do we need to do? We have to lower the inflammation, and we do it by the supplements I was talking about, but also by eating some of these more strengthening foods.
First-time caller Mark in Howell, Michigan. Hey, Mark, welcome. I used to have a place near Fowlerville.
Yep, that's real close.
Sure is. Go ahead, Mark.
Just a couple of quick points. I've been doing the keto and kind of a carnivore diet for 18 months. I was a solid type 2 for 10 to 15 years anyway. And I'm back. I'm down 60 pounds. I weigh what I did when I graduated college. And I consume really none of the omega-6 fats anymore. Pretty much butter and olive oil are pretty much the primary fats that I eat. I eat a lot of venison. That's my main source of protein. But a couple things. Number one, doctors are not in tune with looking at fasting insulin levels. I've almost had to argue with my own doctor to have him test me for this. I'm finally down after 18 months to a level of 8.4, which I'm close to where you want to be. And then I'm still on metformin, so I'd like you to speak to metformin, how that works. I think that is the one drug that you said that is acceptable. That it's not trying to force your insulin down. It is working on your insulin resistance. I'm still insulin resistant, but I'm 1,000% better than I was 18 months ago. And still fighting neuropathy, although it's a lot better, foot neuropathy. And basically, you know, the other thing I'd say with the doctors is that I've inspired a couple of friends of mine who are also diabetic, and they're kind of following the way I eat and saw my success, and it's like they wanted to emulate that. And their own doctors are refusing to give them fasting insulin tests because they absolutely just do not even understand what to look at. They think high insulin. My own doctor said, well, you don't make insulin like you did when you're 20. Well, there he's wrong. I can make insulin like I was 20. That's the problem.
What do you think of that, Daryl?
First, Mark, congratulations. 60 pounds is absolutely incredible.
Really,
I want to acknowledge you for all the lifestyle choices that you made. Are you doing intermittent fasting at all or any sort of fasting?
Yeah, I only eat two meals, basically lunch and dinner. Rarely breakfast. If I eat breakfast at all, it's just maybe sausage and eggs, bacon and eggs. And but probably 90-95% of days I eat no breakfast whatsoever.
Yeah, I had a feeling, and that's phenomenal. And remember, guys, this is the line. It's not about eating less. It's about eating less often. So when you're eating the lunch and dinner, you got to make sure that you're getting the appropriate nutrients and the calories in. Meat is important. Like if you're eating animal protein, that's fine, but we don't want to have too much meat. So we got to make sure that we're not doing too much. So 2 to 4 ounces per meal would be the right number, because once you go over that, your body actually is going to turn it into sugar. And also, let's make sure let's do our best that the quality that we're going after is grass-fed, because if it's not grass-fed, it's going to be fed with corn and soy and other things like, you know, GMOs and obviously antibiotics. So the quality is just as important as the quantity. And I agree. It's like we have to look more at these numbers. I always say, you know, you inspect what you respect, or you respect what you inspect. And it works both ways. So looking at those numbers, it gives you a gauge. It gives you basically a baseline of where you're at when you started, and your numbers are all improving. So what I would say is, you know, you stay on the medication right now because you still have a little bit more to go. You've made tremendous improvements. So, again, congratulations. But what you want to do is keep on making these diet changes. Keep on getting rid of the deficiencies, because that doesn't happen overnight. And always remember, you can't supplement your way out of a bad diet, and you can't medicate your way out of a bad diet. So the goal for you, Mark, would be at some point to be able to get off the metformin so your body doesn't rely on that, and you can definitely achieve that. Because as you give your body more of these foods and there's less sugar in the system, then your body and that insulin resistance will start to reset itself. And then the body's not going to have to rely on the metformin like it's been to this point. So I would say just keep on charging ahead. I think you're doing great. As I say, you're kicking acid, and don't stop, because you're on your way to being off of the drugs. And once that happens, it's a game changer.
How important, Daryl, is hydration?
Oh, I think it's critical. You know, in the first book, which we talked about a few years ago, it was the second step. The first one was breathing. But I always say the solution to pollution is dilution. 90% of Americans are actually dehydrated. And we need – I mean, think of this from a common sense standpoint. When the plant wilts, what's the first thing that comes to our mind?
Now, lack of water.
Yeah, but most doctors will say, give it drugs, give it surgery, right? Now, if that plant was going to die – give it drugs, give it surgery. That's what I was saying before. We have the best crisis care in the system. But again, give it sunlight, give it nutrition, give it water, take the toxins out of the soil. And when you do those things, the plant is going to heal itself, and we're no different. So I think that's one of the things, that if you're craving sugar, just start drinking more water, because thirst and hunger does go to the same part of the brain. So many times, as George was just saying, we just are dehydrated. So water would be like what I call neutral. Adding lemon to the water would be a better option, because mm-hmm. the lemon gives you those nutrients. It alkalizes it. But adding a green juice powder to the water, that kicks acid. So, again, good, better, best. Let's just always try to make a little bit of a better choice. But I'm a big proponent of more water, and you want to mist throughout the entire day.
Kathleen's with us in Alberta, Canada. Hi, Kathleen. Thanks for calling.
Hi there. I had a question about alcohol. I was told that by somebody that it doesn't have a lot of sugar in it, but I'm thinking that it does have a lot of sugar in it. That's what my doctor told me. And how do you figure out the sugar content between like an ounce of like a highball versus like 14% wine or a 3% beer?
Well, it's a great question. It's one of the top questions I get, by the way, is what is the deal with alcohol? Some have more sugar than others. And, you know, something like wine will have more sugar. So I always, again, use that good, better, best mentality. So something like beer would be, I would say, probably the worst alcohol you could put into the body, because it's a fermented grain. We have to avoid the grains. Grains are going to spike your blood sugar just as much as regular processed sugar will. Plus, grains can all become contaminated with fungus. So we stay away from the beer if possible. Wine would be a better choice. Your best choice is going to be something like a tequila or a grain-free vodka. So you want to go with the grain-free vodkas. It's just going to be a much, much better choice. But you can just look at the labels when you buy them, and you look at the carbohydrate numbers and the sugar numbers, and that should give you the information that you're looking for.
Is this an epidemic in terms of high sugar content in people?
It is an epidemic. I always say sugar is America's drug of choice. We don't think of it as a drug, kind of similar to the cigarette thing, but it is a huge epidemic, not just for us, but also for our children. If you look at the last 50 to 70 years, you know, back in the 60s, the sugar industry paid off three Harvard scientists to actually manipulate the studies showing that fat was the problem. So that's really why we've seen no fat, less fat, zero fat over these last 50 to 70 years in all of the products that we see in the grocery store. Because here's what happened. When they took the fat out, the food tasted like cardboard. So what did they do in return? They added sugar.
Exactly. Stay with us, Daryl. We're going to come back and wrap things up with final calls on Coast to Coast AM. Next hour, Stephen Bassett joins us as we talk about UFO disclosure. Looking forward to some new updates from Stephen on that. And we're going to come back and take some final calls with our special guest, Daryl Joffrey, in just a moment. His book is called Get Off Your Sugar. And welcome back to our final segment. Daryl Joffrey with us. We're talking about his book, Get Off Your Sugar. Just came out. Where do people get your book, Daryl?
You can find it on the website, which is getoffyouracid.com, or at Amazon.
Super. Signed copies, can they get them from you?
Yeah, if they want one, they can give our office a call here in New York City, and we can definitely do that for them for sure.
Super. We're going to take some final calls here for you. So as you look at this entire issue, you were an addict. Kelly Ripa, she was addicted to sugar too, wasn't she?
Yeah, she had a tremendous craving. She talked about that in the forward, and she talked about it on the show the other day.
Has she lost much weight because of getting off sugar?
No, she was always very fit. She never needed to lose weight, but, you know, that's even more dangerous when someone is fit or doesn't have – because fat is a buffer. Fat actually protects acidity in the body. So that could actually be more dangerous for somebody. But, you know, cravings can happen in so many different forms and fashions. And, you know, just by starting to introduce some biohacks into the system and adding different foods, it's amazing how you can get rid of those cravings in a very short period of time.
Final calls. Joe in Long Island, New York. Hey, Joseph, go ahead.
Oh, I got a two-parter, and then I want to ask you about the history. My first part of the question on sugar is I had read that it can damage the telomeres of your DNA strands, I believe, and that contributes to premature aging. And I look at aspartame, and I read that this wise guy, Donald Rumsfeld, our former defense secretary, pushed this through with his firm. It shouldn't have been approved. And they say that, for example, airline pilots are not allowed to drink diet sodas because they could potentially trigger seizures. My second part is about history. If I look at the pictures of people around World War II, everybody's relatively slim. So I wonder about the evolution of sugar. For example, how did it ever go to where you would have 10 teaspoons of sugar in a drink that were added? Why not just one teaspoon? You're still getting the sugar that way. Why 10? In other words, how did it get so out of control from, say, the World War II era, where apparently they did not do this?
To get you addicted to it, I would guess, Daryl.
You nailed it on the head right there. More sugar equal. It's like a slot machine, literally. The more sugar they put into something, the more you're going to buy that food. So they got us. That's what they do. And they're very cleverly sneaking it into all these different foods, as we spoke about earlier. So it's one of those things that just they're adding and adding and adding because people are buying more. So, again, we have to really, like, I always say that what we choose to spend our dollars on is going to dictate keeping these companies in business or not. If we stop buying Coca-Cola, they're not going to be able to sell Coca-Cola, right? But we're literally funding them. But the addiction is the reason why. The telomere question is a phenomenal question. It literally represents your aging. So the shorter the telomere length means we our aging is less. It means that we have less longevity. So things like sugar has been shown to actually shorten your telomeres just like a cigarette would. It literally shaves years off of your life. So we want to add length to our life. We want to have longer telomeres, which is the caps on the end of the DNA, like you mentioned. So having less sugar, more of these healthy, alkalizing, strengthening foods is going to help you accomplish that.
Let's go to Miami, Florida. Jose's with us. Hello, Jose. You there? You there? Okay, go ahead. We'll have Tommy work on your phone for you. Mike in Pueblo, Colorado. Go ahead, Michael.
Yeah, I wasn't going to bring this up until I just heard it, but that music you played just before the break.
Yeah.
You have three or four things that sound similar, and they're always played before breaks, and one or more of each four is played at least twice a week. And I'd like to know who does those, because I don't know why, but they always, always make me nostalgic for Boulder, Colorado, where I lived 10 years ago, and I can't figure out why.
Oh, that's fantastic.
So my three, and I really enjoy that when I get nostalgic just from those pieces of music. So I have three really short questions.
Okay, we'll go one at a time.
Okay, Dr. Wallach is really against oils. My question is, if the oils are cold pressed and you don't use them to cook with, what is so bad about extra virgin olive oil, grapeseed oil, etc.?
Okay, that's question one. We have a guest who hates all oils, Daryl. I don't. I like olive oil, but what are your thoughts?
Olive oil is one of the healthiest foods you can put into the body, and you've heard things that you can't even cook with it. You can cook with it under a medium flame. If it's a higher flame, I would use coconut oil or avocado oil. But as I mentioned earlier, there's fats that heal and fats that kill. The oils that are very healthy, and this is all in the research, are extra virgin olive oil, avocado oil, coconut oil, black seed oil, one of my favorite for immunity. MCT oil, grape seed oil is one I do not like. In fact, I was talking about those inflammatory fats. Grape seed has the highest, most imbalanced ratio of any food on our earth. It's 954-1, which means it's 954 times more inflammatory than something like an omega-3. So that's the one I would actually avoid.
Question number two, Michael.
Okay. I would like to know if you know of any supplements that actually restore dark hair color.
That's interesting. I had heard that copper supplements help. What have you heard on that, Daryl?
That's a great point. Copper supplements is one that we need to avoid 100%. If your supplement has more than 100 micrograms of copper, you need to throw it out, because what the research shows is that the copper in the supplement can go to the brain and actually cause things like dementia and Alzheimer's. The number one source of copper comes from plumbing, and also comes from supplements. So you
yeah.
gotta really look at your water as well.
Interesting.
Those two things. So we get too much copper in our lifestyles because of the pipes that the water comes through. So that's one thing I would actually try to say, let's watch out for it.
And does anything else restore your hair color?
I would say just having those high-rich minerals and omega-3 fats, because it's about restoring connective tissue, skin, hair, and nails. Also, silica is a very, very powerful mineral and nutrient because that helps connective tissue as well. Base as well. Those are the ones I would put at the top of the list.
Number three, Mike.
Okay, you've never been asked this question before. There are countries in Europe and maybe elsewhere, and at least two restaurants in New York City that serve ice cream and yogurt with this ingredient, and there's even relationships based on what I'm about to ask you. What is your nutrition opinion of adults drinking breast milk?
Oh, boy, that is the first time I've ever had that question.
And he's right. That does happen.
Yeah, exactly. I don't have an answer for that, but what I can tell you is that breast milk is a very nutritious liquid. I mean, we don't think twice about drinking cow's milk, right? But here's the deal. We're the only mammals that consume another mammal's breast milk after weaning. Cows don't even drink cow's milk. It was designed for baby cows, so breast milk was designed for babies. So I don't think it's something that we need, though obviously there's a lot of nutrients in there. There's minerals. There's omega-3 fats. So if it's something that you decided to do, I believe there's only upside, no downside to that, because biologically it was meant for us as humans, ideally for babies, though.
I used to drink milk like crazy. I can't drink it anymore. I don't know why, but there's a mental lapse in my head.
Cow's milk?
Yeah, I just can't drink it.
Yeah. I mean, we were forced to drink it as kids, right? But it's something that even my children, they never had cow's milk. It's the number one allergy in children. Remember, children were designed to have breast milk, and then once they're done with that, water.
Let's go back to Jose in Miami, see if we got a better connection with him. Hi, Jose. Let's give it a try.
Hi, George. I'm sorry about that. I almost dropped the phone as I was paying for milk at a Walgreens. Open 24 hours. Of all things, exactly. I wanted to ask the doctor if he knows anything about a link between a thyroid problem and dementia, in particular, I believe, Alzheimer's. I read something about that with the thyroid deficiency, and also a few supplements like alpha GPC, Hooper's in A, Neulpep, and other things like alpha lipoic acid and stuff like that.
Yeah, I mean, the thyroid is the number one first gland to be attacked by toxicity in the body. Where do the toxins enter the body? That hits the thyroid gland first, which usually leads to imbalances in your thyroid hormones, affects your brain, affects your adrenal connection, because once the thyroid goes off, it's like a traffic cop. It affects everything else. So leaky gut is where you have to start. You got to start with the gut, the microbiome. Everybody's got leaky gut. I do live blood cell testing in my office. I see this in every single person I test. So we have to heal and seal the gut. I'm a big fan of chlorophyll, of green juice, because it really lowers the inflammation. And then we need to do some supplements that can actually heal that gut lining. The other supplements, again, we got to be careful of just throwing darts at the dartboard. Like, I love alpha lipoic acid, but my motto is always test, not guess, when you're dealing with something like a thyroid gland, because you really want to know what's happening with the thyroid. So I always start with the gut, because Hippocrates, the father of modern medicine, said, look to the gut. It's the cause of all dis-ease. So we clean up the gut, we fix the gut, and from there we can move on to the organs and the hormones themselves.
Next one up is Annie in Alabama. Hello, Annie.
Hey,
Roll Tide.
George.
Hi there.
Thank you for taking my call. I just turned the other phone off.
Good.
Can you hear me?
What are you doing with two phones on?
So I can hear.
All right.
I can't hear the show at all.
There you go.
Hey, Doc, I've been on a reducing diet for almost 5 years. I've lost very little weight, and I shoot for 1,500 calories a day. However, to get more protein, I usually go up to around 1,800. I should have lost weight, don't you think so?
What's wrong with her, Annie? What's wrong with her, Doc? What's going on with Annie?
Well, first thing I want to say, Roll Tide, you're from Alabama. Congrats on the big victory tonight.
Big game against Ohio State, huh?
Yeah, they look good. But remember, a calorie is not a calorie. So we have to be careful of having calories basing on our health and our weight loss. For example, if I have an avocado, a calorie of an avocado, which will help me burn fat, is much different than a calorie of high fructose corn syrup. They're both a calorie. One will lower inflammation, one will increase inflammation. So I don't count calories. I don't believe in counting calories. I believe in the quality of the calories. That's the key thing. So I would be more inclined to look at what you're eating, because it's specifically in those foods that's the reason why you can't lose the weight. Remember, when we have too much weight, it's an acid problem. The body's holding on to the weight to neutralize and protect those damaging acids from harming the bodies. So your goal needs to be to reduce the acidity and the inflammation, which comes from all these things that we're talking about today.
What do you think of a water and vitamin diet?
A water in jug. Well, the question is where are the vitamins coming from? I believe that we should get as many of the vitamins from our food, but we live in a day and age where it's impossible to get all
supplementation.
Yeah, supplementation is important. Things like the big five. Magnesium is number one. Omega-3 fats number two. Probiotics you need. Vitamin D3 and vitamin K2. Those are the big five.
And I love zinc too. I think zinc's important.
Especially now with what's going on. But again, you can't supplement your way out of a bad diet. So while you need to take those types of supplements, they're super important. We still have to make sure that we're eating an energy-filled, strengthening diet that alkalizes the body. Those two in combination, it's like the 1-2 punch.
Dave's with us in San Diego, west of the Rockies. Hi, David.
Hi, how are you doing?
Okay, thank you.
It's an honor, George and Daryl.
Hey, Dave.
It's a pleasure to talk to you about this topic. I've been off sugar for about 4 years, and it started because I was sitting at my desk and I was eating something, and like dinner, and the food wouldn't go around the corner, and I got mad and I slugged my stomach and said, "You're over." And I got up. I was 190, and that's probably light to some people, but I lost this weight because I got mad at it. I went on the keto diet. The MCT oil.
That works.
And let me tell you, I don't hardly touch the MCT oil now, but I supplement with it because it's incredible energy that is what my brain and stomach want. Now, I just wanted to say, you mentioned a lot of things, and all the things I've learned on George's show. George said something with a doctor about 2 to 3 months after COVID came out. He mentioned, I went on the keto diet, and he didn't have any symptoms. I totally believe that, because when I was 190, I had neuropathy in my feet. I could feel pains in my stomach. I had stomach issues, you know, indigestion, it felt like. It wasn't digesting right, and it would give me cramps, and I felt bad. I must say, tell people, take a parasite cleanser to kill the parasites, like Candida. Candida is like rampant in America from GMO food sugars.
Yep.
And if they kill that, you get rid of that appetite of that Candida, and your appetite becomes controllable again. It's amazing. I don't crave sugar. I eat 86% cacao. I eat sardines, pickles, a banana, oranges, not too many oranges. But the appetite suppresses itself without all this extra sugar in there. You don't go crazy and keep eating until you're going to pop.
That's a good point. Daryl, go ahead.
Exactly. I love this topic. It's one of my favorite things to talk about. Remember, when you eat sugar, it's a dirty burn. This is why people that crave sugar need it every 2 or 3 hours, because it's gone. And then you need it again because you need to keep your body still going. When you train your body to burn fat, as you have, congratulations. It's a huge, huge accomplishment. You can go all day without being hungry, because fat is like a slow-burning coal. It suppresses hunger. It satiates. It helps your body burn fat. And 95% of the calories stored in your body are stored as fat. Only 5% are stored as sugar. So we have so much fuel in the body ready to be activated and mobilized, and you have achieved that. Now, if you're starting out, you know, when you are going from sugar to fat burning, it takes about 2 to 4 weeks on average if you're following all the things that we're talking about. But once you get there, it's a game changer. And then what happens is a byproduct of that, you feel better, you have more energy, you sleep better, you live longer, everything. It's just your entire life improves. So way to go. This is exactly what we're looking for when people move to a strength eating diet away from stress eating.
Why do you need a little candy bar or something for energy, or so they say?
Well, you really don't, because the candy is that instant hit of glucose, right? So it gives you the glucose, your body burns it off, that's what's giving you the energy. But then what happens is your body's going to crash, so
boom,
then you get more.
Big time, too, isn't it?
I'm sorry, what was the question?
It's a big time crash, too, isn't it?
It's a big time crash, exactly, and that's what happens. People are living on both extremes. You know, they wake up and you know they'll have something acidic, whether it's a cup of coffee. You know, we have acid kicking coffee, so we have the powder you add to the coffee, which neutralizes the acid. But then if it's an acidic cup of coffee, then we move to sugar, and then we have more sugar. We're just kind of feeding that addiction all day long, and by the end of the day, you know, we're so jacked up on all this caffeine and sugar, we can't sleep. So then we take something for the sleep. So it's important that, you know, something like a cheat meal can turn into a cheat lifestyle. So I'm not saying that you can't enjoy your food. You can. Make sure that it's not the dominant part of your diet and your lifestyle.
What's up next on your plate these days, Daryl?
Oh, just super busy now. We're going to have a big 10-day get off your sugar detox at the end of the month. On the 25th, we're having that. So I'm excited about that. Just really enjoying speaking to people like you, getting the word out and helping people get off their sugar. So just really going to just talk more about the book and help people do the things that I did, you know, get off the sugar and just start to really take control of their life.
All right. Thanks, Daryl. Always a pleasure having you on the show. Get Off Your Sugar. That's his latest book. Up next, Stephen Bassett joins us from the Paradigm Research Group talking about UFO disclosure.